We have Chuck Whiplinger. That's Chuck. Chuck Whiplinger. You can tell it's day five.
How can you go and foul up Chuck? That's
easy.
Oh,
I can foul up anything.
We won't ask about that.
So I bet the company slogan, Whip Air, they build floats. It should be, you make it fly, we make it float.
You know, that's not bad. We get 10%.
Thank you.
You heard it here. Well, Chuck, good to have you with us this morning. How did Whip Air get started?
Whip Air got started back in the early 1960s. Actually, prior to that, my grandpa, Ben, he was in the conversion business. He'd take the old Lockheed Lodestars of the day, convert them into business aircraft. And about the late 50s, early 60s, he sold out of that business. He had an old 180 on Edo amphibs. He used to entertain pilots with them. They were there with their aircraft getting them converted. And he'd take them up on fishing trips and such. And he decided he wanted to go into sales of floats. And so he contacted Edo. And Edo was still busy with government contracts and didn't really want another representative anywhere. And declined him, I believe. And he said, well, I'll build my own then. And started building his own floats. And came up with the Whipline 3900. Put it under 180 and there's still 3900s out there flying out in various places.
Do you still build that product?
No, that product has been retired. We're on to newer, lighter, better hydrodynamic designs now. But
the 3901.
There you go. What's the biggest airplane that Whip Air has ever put on floats?
Biggest airplane that we put on floats is the Viking Twin Otter, the de Havilland Twin Otter. We still produce the floats for that, and there's with the restart of the Viking 400, it's a very popular product.
Now, the one thing I've always wondered about, you know, the float has the front section, and then it has that step, and it cuts to nothing.
Yep.
What is that all about?
The step is just your planing surface. Your typical boats, they get up on plane, they're towards the back of the boat and on the aircraft. You have to have a pivot point so you can adjust your pitch with the elevator, and that's where it planes and pivots about, basically.
Makes it easier to get it off the water, I imagine.
I noticed something very interesting on the website the other day. Was looking at this. I might even have a picture of it in here with my stuff. Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
That wasn't the right website.
Yes, it was. You've got a new float here called the Fire Boss. What is that all about?
The Fire Boss is a wildfire fighting product. We developed that. It was about 2000 or late 90s when we started. It was 2000-2001 when it was certified. And that is a float that is essentially a shortened 13,000 for the Twin Otter. It's shortened down a little bit. And we put it under an Air Tractor 802. And it's got a scooping mechanism in it. You can scoop 800 gallons of water up into the hopper of the aircraft in about 14 seconds.
That's 800 gallons per float?
Nope, that's 800 gallons. It goes total. All the way up to the fuselage.
I thought the float was the actual tank.
No, and we did do a similar that concept on a Twin Otter, and that was, you got about 250 gallons a side, so it was for a total of 500 gallons. The Fire Boss is a newer product than that, and holds more water and has been very effective to date at fighting fires.
Yeah, because all you have to do is just fly, and according to the information,
for the snorkelers.
Basically, you just find yourself a lake, do a touch and go, fill the tank up, and you're back on scene again.
You said that was like, what, 15 seconds?
It takes about 14 seconds to fill the hopper and about another 10 seconds to get off the water. It's comfortable in a lake with a couple miles long.
Right.
You can do it shorter, depending
on
the
pilot's gotta speed. A little tricky from the standpoint of the weight change that's going on.
There's a lot going on, and you do have to be on top of the game there while you're scooping. I've done it myself before, and it's pretty exciting, but it's manageable, and it's more of a fun ride when you drop it and you're not anticipating that weight change.
Yeah. Well, you sold a lot of those.
There's about 47 of them over in Europe. That's been the biggest market for them. And about 13 in Canada, 12 or 13 working in Canada. Now three of them working in the U.S. here, and we expect that market to start growing now. One going to South America later this year, and there's one operating in Australia. So
it looks like you're pretty busy building these things then.
Yes, we got a product line of nine models, and we're constantly building them. We try to keep some inventory to the more popular models. So.
What is the lightest airplane you've equipped?
We've just introduced the Whipline 1450 float out here, which will has float a plane about in the 1,650 pound range. So that's for all your LSA type aircraft. We'll end up eventually TSOing that, putting under J3s, P11s, little Cubs, those kinds of aircraft.
Looking at your information here, stuff that I pulled directly off your website here, it says that you guys are doing more than just float manufacturing. What else is Whip Air involved with?
Over the years, we've sold new aircraft for Cessna. We've since gone away from that, and we do sell and brokerage used aircraft. Big other major part of the company is the services side. We do maintenance, paint, interior, avionics. We've got FAA repair station, certified repair station. So I think we have probably around 30 employees in that side of the business, if not more.
You've got a busy shop going, Ned.
This is kind of a technical question. Do the floats have bilges? I mean, most things on water leak a little bit. You get water in them.
Yeah, water does work their way into them. Sometimes you'll develop leaks over time, or just even through the top decks. If you get real heavy rain, you'll get some water in there. Condensation forms. So we don't have an electric bilge system. People get real fussy about weight because you're already adding so much weight with the floats. So what it is, it's just a little pump-out cup on the top deck, and you take like a canoe pump and just pump it out. You get a couple pumps of water out. That's about it.
Lifetime expectancy of a float?
As long as you take care of it and maintain it. We've, like I said, we've still got 3900s out flying. They were built in the early mid-60s, 70s. So, and especially if it's in fresh water, it'll go as long as you maintain it. You get it out in the salt water, if you don't do your maintenance well, you will start to see corrosion just like you would on anything.
All right, here's the question then. How do you maintain your float?
You do an annual on them like you do your aircraft every year. You go through, inspect cables, inspect pulleys, check for leaks, that sort of thing. Just inspect the general condition. You do regular greasing of gear parts, lubrication, maintenance, and clean them. If you're in salt water, we recommend you wash them down every day. Get the salt water off of them. If you can, spray out the inside of the float a little bit, pump it out. So other than that, make sure your tire pressure is inflated and your bearings are packed right, and you're pretty well good to go.
And obviously you're talking about amphibious floats there.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That's got to be an interesting manufacturing process there, because the wheels are always exposed to the water.
Yeah, it's they are exposed to the water. We generally use 2024 aluminum, and it's all anodized, and do corrosion protection as best we can. We are developing a composite float product as well, but you still got metal gear parts in there, so you still have to do your maintenance.
As always, maintenance is important. What about repairability? What happens if somebody prangs a float?
Well, yeah, they bang the dock or something like that.
Sure. It's pretty much standard sheet metal work. Nothing too super secret or hard about it. If you can work with doing a standard aluminum pair on an aircraft, you can do it on a float as well. Some of our older generation floats, they do have a bonding process between the side skin and the top deck, and the sides of the floats, the various sides. And there it's a little bit different process to just unbond it, and usually just rivet it back together with good sealant. So it's again just standard sheet metal process.
Nothing spectacular about
it. It makes it sound so easy.
Yeah, really.
I think I'll design some floats.
Are you guys talking about doing any inflatable floats for ultralights or LSAs?
No, we just introduced our LSA float. That's an aluminum float as well. Have not really looked into the inflatable float market. It's a little bit beyond our area of expertise, I would say. We are looking at, like I said, developing composite float line. We're working on a 3,000 size, which would be for your 182s, 185s, 180s. And then once we're done with that one, which is expected to be TSO'd this September, we'll continue through the rest of the product line with that as well.
The movie 6 Days and Seven Nights.
Yeah. Yes.
Were those your floats in that?
I saw the movie once a long time ago, and I don't think they were.
They were Japanese floats found in a tree. Come on.
Oh, come on. This is Hollywood. Do you think they actually found that airplane hanging around in a tree?
We did have
No.
Oh, man.
We did have one of the airplanes from the movie come through and get fitted with floats, though.
Oh, okay.
So we did have one sitting in our shop for a while.
Yeah, we had to lash it on with the bamboo and the vines. The
vines and all that good stuff, yes. Harrison Ford was very innovative.
Anyway, where can we find you here at Oshkosh?
We are outside Hanner D, and just outside. You can't miss us there. We have a caravan parked on Anfibs there.
Let me guess. You should look for the floats?
Yep. it's the airplane sticking above everything else. So.
Yes. Assess the caravan on floats is pretty imposing.
Yes.
All right, sir.
Well, that's great fun. Hey, oh, you have a website too, right?
No.
Yes, www.whipair.com.
There it is.
Okay, spell that. W-I-P-A-I-R-E.
Yes.
.com.
That works better than some of the alternates.
Well, you can just Google. That'll take you pretty much anywhere you want to go, and then some.
Yes.
I do believe we tried to get some of the common misspellings, so if you type that in, you'll find us as well.
Oh, it'll still bounce you there?
I think.
Well, we'll have to check that out later.
Yeah, you guys try it and let me know.
All right.
Okay.
We can't type anyway.